From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump and the White House staff have rushed to express unity and denounce the acts of potential violence related to suspicious packages being sent to a number of people around the country this week. On Wednesday, Trump read a statement to the White House saying federal law enforcement was on the case, but the strong pattern that has emerged from the pipe bombs and envelopes of white powder is that they're all aimed at people Trump has spent years attacking, vilifying, and encouraging violence against. Former President Barack Obama, Vice President Joe Biden, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, CIA Director John Brennan, and current House Representative Maxine Waters, and even actor Robert De Niro. The package aimed at Brennan was delivered to CNN's New York office. CNN has also been one of Trump's favored targets. Right-wing media have jumped to turn the tables on the story, claiming that conservatives are the ones targeted for violence, and even going as far as implying that liberals were behind the incidents in order to undermine the GOP's midterm election chances. My guest is Julie Milliken. She's the Vice President of Media Matters for America. Welcome to the program, Julie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So obviously, this is something that we shouldn't be terribly surprised by. Trump has spent a very long time, even from before he was president, bashing many of the figures that are the targets of whoever this person was. Why do you think people aren't more strongly drawing the line? They're not. I haven't seen the term terrorist yet, but essentially a threat of violence intended to have a political repercussion, it's considered a terrorist act, right?
I would think so, yes. I think there's a lot of people in the mainstream media, at the very least, that seem to be trying to withhold judgment until more is known about the motives of the person who sent these bombs. I don't know why we need to really wait that long, to be perfectly honest. The motive seems to obviously have some sort of a political association to it, given who has been targeted. And additionally, we're looking at people who are repeated, as you mentioned, targets of like the president himself. They're repeated targets of the right-wing media. Clearly, that's not a coincidence that these people were chosen. Now, why exactly the person who was sending these bombs, decided that they wanted, what their precise motivation was behind sending it, of course, we don't know yet, but it's obvious that there's a linkage there between the fact that these people are frequent targets of the president and of the right-wing media apparatus that supports him.
Even if it turns out that the person isn't a Trump supporter, shouldn't some responsibility lie with Trump, given that he has singled out, not just as a candidate, but as president, singled out so many high-profile figures by name, such as the former president of the country, such as Hillary Clinton, his former candidate and Secretary of State, Maxine Waters, a sitting House representative, he's insulted them, he has belittled them, he has, in many ways, sort of, almost given a tacit go-ahead to his supporters to do the same. And it wouldn't surprise anybody if a deranged supporter took that one step further.
Right. And I totally agree with you 100%. It wouldn't be surprising at all to find out that this was indeed a Trump supporter. We don't know that. It could be somebody who was trying to use the Trump attacks as a way to distract from some issue, and I highly, highly doubt it. There's obviously a relationship there between how Trump has repeatedly gone after these people and why these people specifically were the ones targeted. And I don't know why we're not saying as a country that our president should be held to a higher standard here, that he should, with all of his lectures about civility, he should be the one who is responsible for rising up and rising above and toning down the rhetoric and toning down the rhetoric of his supporters and urging them to be more responsible with their criticisms. It's nobody saying you can't have disagreements with somebody from a different, who has a different political viewpoint than you, that you guys can't talk about those disagreements, that you can't campaign on those disagreements. That's 100% what our democracy is all about. But there should be some responsibility that you shouldn't be using things to fan flames of racial tensions, that you shouldn't be targeting people, villainizing people, making people, not just like individuals, but also looking at like blaming the media for causing this environment in which, you know, Trump supporters are so outraged that they feel like potentially they need to send pipe bombs to, you know, Trump's political enemies.
Right. And for our TV audience, by the way, we're playing a mashup of all of the times during his presidential campaign, 2015, 2016, that Trump very explicitly and overtly talked about knocking the crap out of people, wanting to punch people in the face, offering to pay the legal fees for somebody else who was punching a protester at one of his rallies. I mean, he's physically making the, you know, showing the punching action, and then his supporters are mimicking him. I mean, this is like, this is his, you know, modus operandi.
Right. Right, exactly. And it's not even, you don't even have to go that far back. I mean, look, it was just last week where Trump was talking and supporting a representative, is it, I forget, I apologize, I forget his name, but the representative who assaulted a journalist last year, or excuse me, in 2016, and was convicted of it. He was in Missouri.
Greg Gianforte.
Yes, Gianforte, thank you.
Right, Greg Gianforte assaulted a reporter for the Guardian newspaper, right. Body slammed him, and Trump said he went to for his re-election campaign rally and said that he liked the idea of supporting a guy who could body slam a reporter.
This was just last week. And the Trump crowds constantly, still 2 years later, every time Hillary Clinton's name is mentioned, is just screaming, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. He encourages this. Anybody who denies that he encourages this is just being disingenuous and just lying.
And we know that Trump supporters are vehemently loyal. They are so loyal that in the face of Trump's lies, overt open lies, they back him no matter what, which, you know, led him to say, I remember during his campaign, he could go out and shoot someone in the street and his supporters would still back him. So they are so loyal, they naturally will mimic what the president does. There was just another incident that took place on Southwest Airlines. I don't know if you saw this, Julie, where a man was arrested for groping a woman on an airplane flight. While she was asleep on the flight, he grabbed her breast. And then when he was arrested, he literally said, the president says it's okay to do this.
Right. Right. So is it such a shock to think that this that President Trump could have whipped up one of his supporters into such a frenzy that they took it seriously and then they sent, you know, pipe bombs to threaten people that Trump routinely targets? No, I don't think that's a stretch at all to say that that's entirely possible, and that Trump, the rhetoric that Trump and the right wing media apparatus that supports him routinely engages in, easily could lead to this type of behavior.
Now, I want to highlight the exchange between CNN and White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders. CNN spokesperson, he's actually the worldwide president of CNN, Jeff Zucker, said there is a total and complete lack of understanding at the White House about the seriousness of their continued attacks on the media. The president and especially the White House Press Secretary should understand their words matter. Thus far, they have shown no comprehension of that. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, tagging President Trump, replied, said that Trump asked Americans to, quote, come together and send one very clear, strong, unmistakable message that acts or threats of political violence of any kind have no place in the USA, yet you chose to attack and divide. America should unite against all political violence. She turned it around on CNN, I don't know how, found a way to blame them. And I understand Trump is doing the same thing. They're still blaming the media.
And they're expert gaslighters. That's what they do. Yeah. And they are not alone in that. Actually, one of the things that we first observed in the right-wing media response as it unfolded, as the news was breaking on Wednesday, that these pipe bombs were being discovered, was that the media, they went a couple different routes. There was a group of right-wing media's people, figures who are like more on the far right, you know, the Laura Loomers of the world, Michael Savage, who's a far right,
right-wing
video host, Rush Limbaugh. They were starting the false flag narrative, for instance. So there was one idea that like this can't be real. This is just a false flag to distract from the migrant caravan that we want everybody to talk about and the violent left and how they're coming and bringing people to invade this country and steal the election, et cetera, et cetera. Because that has been the narrative that the right has been pushing with Donald Trump's full support for the last week. And then the other narrative that we saw emerge pretty quickly were people who were trying to turn it around and say, well, you know what, really the reason why this happened is because it's the Democrats' fault in the first place. And then they would specifically attack Maxine Waters, Eric Holder, Hillary Clinton for comments that they had made and that the far right and the right wing media were taking completely out of context. About civil disobedience and protesting, you know, Trump administration figures, Trump policies that they disagree with, and like wanting to fight back against like the toxicity and you know, divisions that we're experiencing by the GOP. They turned that around and said, you know what, like you guys were calling for incivility. You created this, you know, environment in which people were going to get all riled up. It's really your fault. We're the victims here.
Wow.
We're the ones that are always like subjected to your hatred. And they were very quick out of the gate with that.
Well, Trump himself on Thursday, I want to actually quote his tweet. He said, a very big part of the anger we see today in our society is caused by the purposely false and inaccurate reporting of the mainstream media that I refer to as fake news. It has gotten so bad and hateful that it is beyond description. Mainstream media must clean up its act fast. He didn't mention the suspicious packages, but clearly that's what he's alluding to it when he's saying a very big part of the anger we see today. Unbelievable and so Orwellian. Up is down, right is left. You know, this is just in his world. The sun rises in the west,
right? And it's so, if you pair that with the fact that on Wednesday night, as this is all still unfolding, he held a campaign rally. And at the campaign rally, he started to blame the media again, while he was supposedly calling for civility and for both sides to come together and for people and decrying, you know, these acts of violence.
He immediately pivoted to blame, you know, the media for being unfair.
And at that same rally, that rally began with chants of lock her up, aimed at Hillary Clinton, right?
Of course it did. I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
I'm not. Yes.
So this whole phenomenon has, it seems like, completely escalated a very volatile moment that we're living in, Julie. And when you have a president and a party and supporters of this president and party who are so intent on sidestepping blame for inciting violence, what can we do? Because telling the truth doesn't seem to matter anymore. Pointing out that it's Trump who's inciting violence and it's his supporters that have beaten up protesters, and in the name of Trump, people are saying and doing so much damage. Pointing it out doesn't seem to matter.
Right. I know. And as a media watchdog organization, it's one of the most frustrating things is that the facts don't seem to matter anymore. One of the things that we try to do is make sure, at the very least, that this sort of toxic narratives that the right is pushing is not being adopted uncritically by the mainstream press. They can have a tendency to just transcribe what it is that Trump's saying without pushing back. For instance, like we saw several headlines. I was looking last night, I was on Twitter after the rally and noticed that many of the tweets that were coming out from these organizations were just say, you know, their headlines were focused, Trump chastises media for the pipe bombings, or attempted pipe bombings. And it was just so unfair the way that they were describing what was happening, because it was just privileging this gaslighting that he was doing, right? It was privileging the fact that they are trying to shift the narrative. They're trying to flip everything on its head and say, no, really, it's your fault that this is going on. The things that we do, we are not responsible for at all because you made us do it. It's really hard to operate in an environment like this right now. I would say as individuals, you know, people need to find their own ways of pushing back and fighting back. Certainly as individuals, people can take a look at what's happening, you know, in the election cycle and make decisions for themselves about who it is that they would like to support. And that's one way that people can
can fight back. But, you know, from a media watchdog perspective, one of the things that we need to do is really try to contain and draw and shine a light on what it is that they're doing and say, don't fall for this. You know, don't fall for it. Don't allow them to flip the script. Don't be afraid to continually push back, because there are people that are listening. I mean, yes, we're not going to get to Trump supporters that way, but there are people who understand what's going on here.
And you, what you were saying seemed to imply that even the mainstream press, unfortunately, far too often gives Trump way too much attention. Every time Trump speaks at a rally, because he's so crazy, he gets the news attention. But, you know, there are Democrats, there are non-Trump people speaking out at political rallies. They may not be saying crazy things, and so they are simply not generating the headlines. What can the CNNs, New York Times, and other, you know, media outlets, as well as what can progressive media outlets like us do? Because on the one hand, Trump is news, but on the other hand, he knows he's news, and so he's so good at manipulating that attention. Would you be able to suggest some alternative coverage?
One of the things that I would just suggest in general is to try to be mindful of not getting distracted by Trump's shiny objects. So he is very, very good at leading the media down a narrative path that he wants them to follow. You'll see that with the caravan coverage over the past week, the migrant caravan coverage. That was something that was entirely generated through right-wing media, got picked up by Trump. They thought that this would be great for them as a midterm election issue. It would rally up their base. So they went all in on it, and then the media followed. We showed, when we tracked how much time, it started with Fox News, but then as soon as Trump grabbed a hold of the issue, CNN and MSNBC also jumped right in and started covering a story that, it's not to say that this isn't a newsworthy story, but it's certainly not the top story. It's certainly not the top story in a midterm election year where all of the polls are saying that people care about pre-existing conditions, they care about healthcare coverage. And that is simply stuff that we are not seeing the media reporting on. Broadcast News, for instance, hadn't spent for the entire year, they hadn't done a single report on healthcare. For the entire year, up until I believe late last week, that's astonishing. And so these are the types of things. If you go and just follow whatever it is that Trump is trying to lead you to, you're going to miss stories that matter to people, stories that are relevant. Even if you try to cover the stories that Trump wants you to cover in a responsible way. For instance, when you're talking, again, going back to the migrant caravan coverage, CNN and MSNBC did not cover it the same way that Fox News did. It's not that they were down, you know, out there demagoguing, like having people down on the borders. I mean, Fox had Griff Jenkins, like literally camped out with Border Patrol, like trying to bust people crossing the border illegally. CNN and MSNBC were trying to contextualize it. They had people, you know, who were embedded with the migrants. They were talking to them. They were explaining the situations. They were pushing back on the lies that Trump and others in the right-wing media were feeding about these people and what they were doing, pushing back on this idea that there was ISIS terrorists involved, that there was all filled with criminals, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's good. The thing is, that doesn't also mean that you have to, like, because this is the story that the right wing is talking about the most, that doesn't mean that that has to be the story that you're talking about the most as well. So I would say that this one, you know, narrative kind of illustrates the two different things. One is, don't always follow Trump's lead and assume that just because they're all talking about it and they're screaming about it, that means that this is a huge story that you should be taking as seriously as they are. And pay attention to what else is happening, what stories are falling through the cracks if you continue to follow Trump's lead on things. But also, when you do talk about it, when you do report about it, do a good job of reporting on it. Push back on the lies. Contextualize what is happening. Don't just repeat verbatim, this is what Trump says, and leave it hanging, leave lies out there hanging. And also, this is something that the mainstream media is trying to get better with, but, you know, they do have a tendency to fall into the both sides argument in their reporting, where they feel like if they include one side's perspective, that means that they have to include something from the right, where what the right has done so effectively over decades now is basically dismantled the idea that there's actually facts there. I think the mainstream media has enabled this with both sidesism because there's no agreeable facts anymore. We can't present like facts as this is just what's happening. It doesn't matter what this side says about it. This is the truth. And they will balance the truth with the conservative response right to it. And I think that's been part of the problem as well.
Well, Julie, right after this interview, we're covering the migrant caravan, but okay. Focusing on the human rights abuses within Honduras as one of the pressures on them. Julie, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and give out a website for Media Matters real quick.
We can see all of our work, many of those studies that I referenced and more at Media Matters for America, www.mediamatters.org. And you can also follow us online, Facebook, Twitter, and we have an Instagram page now as well.
Awesome. We'll link to that. Thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you.
Julie Milliken is Vice President of Media Matters for America. We've been discussing the suspicious packages, some of them containing pipe bombs discovered around the country aimed at Trump's favored targets. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.